So this letter was written to Timothy, and this is Paul's last recorded letter in our Bibles. And the last words, if you know these are the last words you're going to say to someone, they're extremely important. You don't talk about, you know, who won the football at the weekend if these are your last words. You talk about the things that are really important. And this book is absolutely moving. When I did some study a few years ago, we did a day on this book, and at the end, the whole class was in tears, just hearing Paul's heart, hearing what was important to him. And this morning, we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 10 onwards. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceived and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Lord, we want to pray that you would speak to us from your word this morning. Lord, would you draw us in your paths of truth and life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Because what we believe matters, we need to be, I've got three things this morning. We need to be discipled. Now, disciple is a funny word. It's like an apprentice. If you're not familiar with the word disciple, it's like an apprentice, someone who follows someone else and learns from them. Paul was an example to Timothy. Verse 10, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings. Timothy had spent time with Paul. Paul did a number of missionary journeys, and Timothy came along with him and learned from him. He didn't just learn from his teaching, he learned from just being with him. You know, you find out a lot more about people when you sit down and have a meal in their house, don't you? Not able to do that at the minute, but, you know, in the future, you find out so much more about someone when you just live with them for a while. When you just walk with them, when you spend more time with them. And that's what had happened to Timothy. And Paul took Timothy on these missionary journeys to train him up, to equip him. And we see from this list that Timothy was well trained. He was trained in teaching and conduct, purpose and faith, patience and love, steadfastness and suffering. What we believe matters when we suffer and when we go through trials. That's when really our faith is tested. When we go through trials, our faith is tested. And sometimes it feels like it's tested to breaking point. And that's why what we believe is so important. Verse 12, Paul, he doesn't hold any punches. He says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He doesn't make it all fluffy and nice. He says, actually, this is what will happen. And persecution and suffering is not a sign that God doesn't love us. It's part of our journey of faith. And it's working out that future glory that God has in store for us. I like this quote. Faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. It's been tested. It's shown to be true. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As Terry alluded to earlier, beyond all comparison. Our sufferings and trials in this day don't feel light and momentary, do they? But when considered in the light of all eternity, they are but a speck. We all need these relationships, like Timothy had with Paul, where we can be discipled and grow in our faith. Someone to walk with us. I have a couple of people in my life who are more mature than I am, both in years, but mainly in faith, who I meet with or chat on the phone, and they help me follow Jesus. They ask me difficult questions because I want to keep growing in my faith. And we all need this. We need people who inspire us, who we think, hey, you know what? If my faith was a bit like theirs, I'd love that. And it's not always those who are, you know, up the front, but it's those who we see, actually, I see in you a maturity, and I'd love that to be replicated in my life. And because what we believe in is so important, it's so important that we have these kind of relationships. And it works both ways. We have those who we look to, hey, we look up to and we say, hey, I want to learn more about your faith and I want you to help me grow in mine. But we can also disciple others. And that's what Jesus called us to in the Great Commission, to make disciples. And it's as I'm discipled and as I disciple others and then they disciple others and they disciple others that God's kingdom grows and more disciples are made. Second thing, if you've not got someone who's discipling you, I would like to encourage you this morning to think about someone who could disciple you, who could help you grow in your faith. You might even have to ask them. You have to say, look, would you mind just spending a bit of time with me once a month? Can we just meet up? I'd love to just learn a bit more. Secondly, because what we believe matters, we need to remain steadfast. Verse 14 to 15, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy had the advantage of being brought up in the faith. He learned about God from his childhood. He had been taught by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice and had been taught and trained by Paul. And Paul knew that his death was nearing and he knew that it was key that the next generation continued in the faith. They didn't go off on their own little wander. They continued in the faith and he wanted to remind Timothy to keep the faith. Earlier in chapter 3, Paul speaks of those who reject the faith. If we'd read from earlier, we would see that they just follow the pleasures and patterns of this world. And it's into this context that we start verse 10. You, however, don't follow with what other people are doing. You, however. You know, we're not meant to follow the current trends, what's politically correct, what's popular, if it's against the truth in the gospel. Many of us here didn't have Timothy's Christian upbringing. So the need of discipleship is even greater. It's so important. But we need to remain steadfast. And in reality, our actions, what comes out of us, those moments when you get a bit angry and frustrated, it's a response of our belief. It's what we truly believe. I find this is a challenge because every day we have a battle to believe the truth about what God has done for us and about who we are. On Sundays, it's easy to sing, isn't it, and enjoy nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wow, we're saved by grace, totally by his work, righteousness through faith. Yet on Tuesday morning, after you've had a bad day on Monday, you lost your temper or you've deliberately sinned or you've done something wrong, so easy to start thinking, I've got to make this up for God. I've got to do some praying now. I've got to do some stuff. If I do some good, anyone else have that feeling occasionally? Or are you two all more sanctified than me? You have that struggle, think. And we've got to daily remind ourselves to be steadfast in our faith. It's about what Jesus has done. It doesn't mean that our sin doesn't matter. Of course it matters. It's why Jesus was sent to the cross. But once we've repented, once we've turned away from our sin, we've confessed it, it's dealt with. And we can approach God boldly and say, God, I need your mercy. Would you help me? And come before him. That's why renewing our minds is so important. There's a battle for our mind. You just come each day and just say, God, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that it's about what you've done. And as we say these things, it reminds us in our mind of what is true. And then we live the day from that freedom. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. What we believe is so important. And because what we believe is important, we need to grow in our knowledge of the Bible. Even this morning, as we've been worshipping, we've been singing a few slower songs, and you think, oh, we're used to living life at such a high pace. All of our TV constantly changes from one picture to another. We're used to high stimulation. And just standing here this morning, just singing those truths, not all razzmatazz or whatever, was so good. It's just a reminder that actually we're not here to entertain on a Sunday morning. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to speak the truth to you. And as we come together, it's great to sing upbeat songs, it's great to clap and it's great to dance. But the key is that we're engaging with God. Whether that's in silence, whether that's through a slower song. And I love, just there was a real sense of God's presence here this morning, wasn't it? It was so special. Really, really good. Verses 16 to 17. All scripture is breathed out by God. Even Leviticus. Okay, for those of you who haven't read Leviticus. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be competent and equipped for every good work. The Bible contains all we need to be fully equipped for every good work that God has for us. It's God's word to us. And as we walk this journey of faith, we must grow in our knowledge of the Bible. Stanley Grenz and Robert Olson, and this guy here, R.C. Sproul, say that everyone's a theologian. You here this morning, you're a theologian. Theologian, theos, God, logos, words. Words about God. We all have things to say about God. Everyone has a way of thinking about life in relation to God. But not all theologians are equal. Some believe purely what they've been told, either from a pulpit, either from a textbook, or from YouTube. But the weakness is that if you never look into these things yourself and you just blindly believe, is that you can change your understanding very, very quickly from one thing. If someone says something that seems slightly more convincing, you can very quickly change your perspective. 2 Timothy 2, 4, 4. Paul warns Timothy that people will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. I want to say that one of the greatest challenges for the church that is facing now and will face more and more over these next years is around gender identity, sexual orientation, and marriage. 20 or 30 years ago, believers viewed this one way. They had one way of viewing this. But now many have changed their view. And there are many, many big reasons why this has happened, and I've not got time this morning to go into all of that. And I want to say that the church has not always engaged well on this issue. There's been homophobia. But for each of us, we need to understand why we believe, what we believe, based on the Bible. It has to be from here. If it's not from here, then we can pick and choose what we want. And we're not really following Jesus, because this is his word to us. equipped for every good work. This is what we need. And because there is a lot of contrasting and unhelpful opinions out there, we need to be growing in our knowledge and faith in the Bible. The gospel is good news to everybody. No matter sexual orientation or gender identity, the gospel is good news to everyone. I haven't got time to go here deeper, but you may be having questions and struggling in this area, and I'm very happy to meet with you, very happy to point you out to some good websites. Living Out is a great website. I went to a day with them a couple of years ago, probably. Absolutely brilliant. Really helpful in looking at this area. Because life has its ups and downs, and understanding our faith will help us stand firm and avoid disappointments that come from theological misconceptions. We need to grow in our understanding of the Bible. And one of the ways we do that is obviously we read the Bible ourselves, or we listen to it read to us on a Bible app. We can read other books, we can do study, listening to sermons. But one of the ways that we want to help you grow over this next year is through our two midweek groups. We're going to launch two Activate groups. The first one is going to be a Christian beliefs group, which Ray is going to come and just explain a tiny bit to you about. And we're going to be promoting these over the next few weeks. They're going to start on the week beginning, I think it's the 10th of April, 10th of May, not the 10th of April because we'd be long gone, 10th of May. But I'll let Ray come and explain to you briefly.
Yes, this is a video-based course. It covers a whole range of different basic beliefs that we should have as Christians. The person speaking is a guy called Wayne Grudem, who is a evangelical Christian and a theologian. Each session will last possibly about an hour and a half, and there's a presentation and then a pause and an opportunity to consider questions and for discussion, and then another presentation, some more questions. So it's a bit of a mixture of watching the presentation and then having the opportunity to discuss, and we'll be doing our best to try to do it through Zoom.
Yes, all of these groups will be online for this next term. The second group that we're going to do is the prayer course. And I can say about the group that Dad's going to run, I've read some Wayne Grudem. I think he conveys truth very well, very in a way that's understandable, but it's brilliant. But also the prayer course by Pete Gregg. He sort of was involved in starting off the 24/7 prayer movement. And one of the areas, TJ is going to say something in a minute, but one of the areas that he looks into is unanswered prayer, and even Terry alluded to that, and that's such a big question for us. Why doesn't God answer some prayers? And it's a very personal question, and the way that he engages with it is very helpful. But it's basically 8 weeks looking at the Lord's Prayer. I feel like we're at an award ceremony this morning because TJ can't be with us. Unfortunately, he's working. He works in restaurants and he's working this morning. But he is live with us via, it's not direct video link, but it's a pre-recorded video. So I'll let him share.
Good morning, all. I would like to...
Oh, there you go. He is there. Let's see if it works.
Good morning, all. I would like to...
I don't know why
promote
you've not got
our prayer course video coming up. Prayer course is just to learn about praying. We'll be looking into aspects of prayers, how to pray, and the benefits of prayers. For myself, personally, since I've been watching these videos of prayer course, I've learned quite a lot, and it's amazing what you learn. It gets you to another dimension, another level of your prayer life. It's just to help us improve our prayer life. Thank you. God bless.
Sorry, I'm not sure why the video didn't work. We've got two books that go with these as well. So this is to go with the Christian beliefs course, and then this one's to go with the prayer. And both of these are for everybody. Whether you think you understand a lot or a little, these are targeted for everybody across the board. Pete Gregg's book is actually called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. And I've read most of this book now, and it's absolutely brilliant. I've read some of Grudem's thicker version of this book, much thicker. And I think these courses are going to be absolutely brilliant for us. The prayer group is going to be on Tuesday night, and the Christian beliefs group will be on the Wednesday night. The books, we will give them to you for free. If you would like to contribute, then just put some money in the collection bucket. I think these were £7. I think these were £10. So if you would like to, you can, but you don't have to, because we want to bless you. The only other thing, if you think, well, I don't know anything about this faith, I'm not sure I'm a Christian yet, but I'd like to know more, I'd like to encourage you to consider doing Alpha. It is an excellent way of just looking into the Christian faith, what it's about, the key truths, and it's an opportunity. You have a video presentation for about 25 minutes, and then opportunity to talk about it, to discuss about it, to ask questions, to explore faith. There's no pressure. It's your journey, and those who run the course are there to facilitate your journey into faith. So I want to encourage you, that will be Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. So we're running that one in the daytime. If you're desperate to do it, but you can't do Tuesday morning, do come and speak to me and we'll see if we can do something else. And for Alpha, if you think, I'm interested, but I don't want to commit to a course, come along for the first week. You can join us for the first week. And if you think, I don't want to do that, that's absolutely fine. We're very happy for you to have a little look and see whether it's something you'd like to do. Okay, we're going to finish by not singing, but listening to Lydia sing a song called The Creed. And The Creed was put together about 325 AD. And it was written to enable, because the Bible doesn't say you must believe this, all in like bullet points. So it's put together by the early church, looking at what the Bible says about Jesus, what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, what the Bible says about the church. And it was put in a way that people could say and memorize and learn. So you knew, this is what I believe about God. And as we listen to this, I want to encourage you, maybe just to say it, maybe just to speak these truths. In a more liturgical church, you might say this every week. You might repeat this. But this is the truth about who God is, about what he's done.